This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala nabi al-kareem. So in today's lesson, we're going to take a look at the next important principle of da'wah, which is wisdom, hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links da'wah directly to hikmah in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, when he says, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. And the verse goes on to mention other qualities of da'wah that we will cover in later videos. But today, we want to focus on this phrase, bil hikmah. Utilize wisdom in how you call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this quality, we have an actual verse of the Quran that mentions this as a condition for doing da'wah, that your da'wah should be wise. What is wisdom? What is hikmah? Wisdom means, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah said, it means to put things in its light, in the right place. And what that means is that you know when to say things, how to say things, you're able to analyze the situation, you're able to deal with different personality types, you're able to realize when it's a good time to speak, when it's not a good time to speak. You're able to read the room. You're able to understand people. You are able to figure out what you should say or shouldn't say, when you should say it or when you shouldn't say it. And this skill of wisdom, it can't really be taught. You cannot teach wisdom the way you teach fiqh or aqidah or even math or science. Wisdom is internal. It is a way of thinking. And it is often shaped by our life experience. You know, when you apply for a job, they ask how much experience do you have in that field? How many years have you spent working in that field? And one of the main things they're looking for in terms of experience is that you've made mistakes at other workplaces, so you're not going to repeat the same mistakes when working for them. Because this is called wisdom. This is experience. This is learning from your mistakes. And this is actually the main way to gain wisdom. And the main way to gain wisdom is to make mistakes and to learn from your mistakes and to never repeat them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the believer is not stung from the same snake hole twice. Meaning, if you the parable here is that if you're walking past a hole in the ground and a snake jumps out from there and bites you, then the lesson you should learn from that is not to walk past that hole again. You know there's a snake there. And what this means is that you shouldn't make the same mistake twice. You should be someone who gains experience and wisdom through every experience you have in life. In everything that happens in your life, you gain more wisdom through it. This is the main way to gain wisdom, that you live life, you make mistakes, you learn from your mistakes. When I was younger, I used to keep a mistake journal. Anytime I messed up in the da'wah or in my personal life, I would write it down in the mistake journal. I would analyze the situation and I would come to a conclusion of what I learned and what can I do to ensure I don't repeat that mistake ever again. I don't really do this anymore. Now I do it internally. I'm able to work through things internally. Also don't make as much mistakes as I did in my 20s. And that's the thing a lot of the young du'at have to realize. In your 20s, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. So if you start doing da'wah in your 30s, then in your 30s, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Whatever is the first decade of work, your first decade in this field, you are going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to be zealous. You're going to be excited. You're going to be enthusiastic. But you're not going to be experienced. You're not going to know how to deal with people. And because of this, you'll mess up. You'll make mistakes. We all do. It's part of life. It's important that we learn from our mistakes and that we grow from our mistakes. This is how you learn wisdom. But sadly, some people don't gain wisdom. Some people, their whole lives will go by and they remain unable to understand people, unable to connect with people, continuously repeating the same mistakes for decades. And this is a lack of wisdom, and lack of wisdom classically is called foolishness, right? That someone who is not wise, especially after having made a lot of mistakes and not learned from it, is considered foolish. And a foolish person should not be involved in the dawah, because they would cause more harm than good. With their abruptness, with their lack of character, with their inability to read the room and know when to talk to people and what to say and how to say it, they can actually cause a lot of damage and a lot of harm. And over the years, I've seen in many different ways people make many mistakes when it comes to not being wise in the dawah. You see, you can't really teach wisdom. If you analyze the verses of the Quran and the hadith about wisdom, then what you will gain from there is that wisdom is, number one, a gift from Allah. Allah can even gift it to a young person, as he mentioned in the case of Yahya and Yusuf alayhi salam, that he gave them wisdom when they were young. So it's a gift that Allah can give to someone when they are young, usually through that person having a really difficult youth, that they learn a lot of life lessons from going through a lot of difficulties early in life. Or there could be other ways. Allah just blesses some people with more emotional intelligence than others, so they have a lot of wisdom from a younger age naturally. The other way that you gain wisdom is through experience, as we mentioned in the hadith about not being bitten from the same snake hole twice. And the Prophet ﷺ said that wisdom is the lost property of the believer. Wherever you find it, you take it. So wherever you have your experiences in life, whatever you can learn a lesson from in life, you draw wisdom from it. It's not something you learn directly from reading the Quran or the hadith. It's something you learn from living life and gaining experience. Now, one of the shortcuts to gaining wisdom is to learn from the mistakes and experiences of others. To spend time with your elders, to spend time with mentors, to spend time with people who are senior in the field. So they will tell you about their mistakes when they were younger. They'll tell you about the times they messed up and what they wish they had done differently. And this way, you gain wisdom without having to actually make the mistake yourself. And this goes back to another principle that we will cover in a later video in the series, which is the importance of suhbah, or spending time in the company of the righteous. Because that is one of the sources of wisdom, spending time in the company of the righteous. So how do we gain wisdom? Through life experience, from Allah, so make dua to Allah for wisdom, from spending time in the company of the righteous and learning from their life experiences, right? These are the main ways that we gain wisdom. It's not something that you can write a book and call it the book of wisdom, because people's lives experiences are different. And what may work for one person may not work for another person. You see this also in parenting. You can't really teach parenting, because every family is different, every parent is different, every child is different. What may work with one child may not work with another. You need wisdom to really parent properly. And dawah is the same. So imagine you have four children. You need wisdom to raise four children, because four children have four different personality types and four different ways of dealing with them. So now imagine you're doing dawah to hundreds of people. That is hundreds of different personality types to deal with. 100 different cases of wisdom that you need to know. And this is gained through experience. But one of the ways is to learn from the mistakes of others. So let's go through some lessons that I have seen in my life of people doing dawah without wisdom. Alright, so one way of showing wisdom in your dawah is understanding your audience and speaking to your audience on their level. You see, different audiences prefer to be addressed in different ways. The way you talk to a student of knowledge is different from the way you talk to a Western academic, which is different from the way you talk to the average person on the street. Right? The way you talk to adults is different from the way you talk to children, which is different from the way you talk to young adults. You have to be able to read your audience. And yes, even the way you talk to men and women, there are subtle differences. There is a wisdom in knowing how best to communicate with each gender, how best to communicate with each age group, how best to communicate with different audiences in terms of the type of language they like. So to give you an example, some du'at get so accustomed to a academic setting and to talk in a academic manner with academic language, well, and this means using a lot of jargon, a lot of high words that people in the universities may be familiar with. They become so accustomed to this way of talking and writing that even when they're dealing with high school kids, they may be using the same language, and they end up losing the audience because the audience don't know these words, not familiar with these terms. They have a different level of vocabulary, a different style of speaking they are accustomed to, and so there's now a disconnect between the speaker and the audience. So wisdom means being able to address each audience in the way that is suitable to them. So when you are talking to students of knowledge, you may use a lot more Arabic words because they are familiar with these Arabic terms. When talking to Western academics, you may use a lot of academic jargon because they are accustomed to using these words in their speech. When talking to a high schooler, you may have to bring your vocab down to a high school level and simplify some of your points. Otherwise, you may lose your audience. So part of wisdom is understanding who your audience is and how to address them in a way that they will be able to receive the message. Another important part of wisdom is to know the right time and the right place to present your message. And this also means being able to understand people and their emotions and their emotional states. Understand that people at different times of their lives are in different emotional states. And this affects their ability to be receptive to your message. Now, I have seen people make this mistake with two opposite extremes. On one hand, I've seen people try to do dawah at a funeral where people are in a state of heightened sadness and grief. They're not willing to hear somebody else's opinion out. They're not willing to discuss matters of difference of opinion. They just want to grieve the death of a loved one. It's not an appropriate occasion to be discussing differences of opinion, or as some of the zealous young people will say, to be doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Right? I'm not telling you not to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. I'm telling you that there's a time and a place for it. And at a graveyard, when someone is grieving, at a janazah, that's not the right time or place. So I've seen this happen too many times. There are so many janazahs that I've attended. Because I live in a community where Muslims come from a variety of different understandings of Islam, it almost always happens that at a janazah, one person will do some acts of worship that another person considers to be bid'ah, and they will end up fighting and arguing with each other at the janazah. Now, even if you are right that what the other person is doing is bid'ah, what exactly is the benefit of bringing it up at that point in time? Because wisdom should make you understand that that person is grieving the death of a loved one. This is how they deal with their grief. They are not in the right state of mind to have an academic discussion and to listen to somebody else's opinion and to change their opinion. More likely, it's going to end up in a fight and just breaking ties with people. So it's not the right time. It's not the right time to be telling someone you're doing bid'ah. No. I'm not saying you don't ever tell them, but you wait for another day when they're in a better state of mind, when they're in a better mood, when they are more receptive to your message, and then you discuss it. Remember, in one case, remember it all too clearly, was 1 a.m. and we were at the graveyard, and one man starts making du'a for the deceased, calling upon the tawassul of the awliya and the anbiya, and one of his relatives stands up very angry and starts shouting at him, "This is bid'ah, this is shirk, how dare you do this at our janazah?" And the two of them get into a heated, loud argument at the graveyard at 1 a.m. in front of the entire family, and nothing good came out of it. All he did was break family ties. And one can't help but wonder that if you just left the discussion for another occasion, maybe the other person would have heard him out. Maybe the one who was right would have been able to get through to the one who was wrong, rather than it turning into an argument. There's not a time to do dawah because people are in a state of grief. And they are easily triggered when they are in a state of grief. And they are not mentally able to hear out a different opinion at a time like that. They just want to do what they feel is best for the deceased. The opposite is when people try to do dawah at a wedding or some kind of festive occasion. When people's minds are in a festive mood, they want to have fun, they want to celebrate, they want to enjoy the moment. Understand that everyone in the world has their trials, everyone in the world is going through difficulties in different ways. And these moments like a wedding or Eid or some other kind of festivity, for many people this is just a moment to forget everything they're going through and to enjoy some halal fun. And unfortunately some of them fall into haram fun in these occasions. So, some of us in our zeal, we may at a wedding give a lecture or fight and argue with people about the deen or about something they're doing being haram or bid'ah. And again, it's not the right time or the right place. Honestly, if you feel a wedding is going to have some kind of bid'ah or haram entertainment, the actual sunnah here is to stay away from that wedding, not to go there and fight with people. Right? The actual recommendations in the books of fiqh is that if you know there is going to be some haram elements at a wedding and that you cannot do anything to stop it, then you should avoid attending that wedding. Not that you should go there and make a scene. Yet some brothers in their zeal don't understand this, and so they'll show up at the wedding and fight and argue with the bride and the groom in front of the entire family about some kind of bid'ah or something being haram. You may be completely right, but you are conveying the message at a time and in a way that it's not going to get through to anybody. And all it's going to do is ruin the occasion and break family ties and make people more averse to you, less likely to ever listen to you. It would be wiser to sit down with the bride and groom before the wedding or after the wedding, or whoever the organizers are, before the wedding or after the wedding, and convey to them your point of view with the evidences. But to do it there on the occasion is not wise. It's not the right time or the place. No one's really going to listen to what you are saying because they're not in the right frame of mind to do so. It's very important to understand people's frame of minds when you're doing dawah. You cannot do dawah to someone who they are not mentally in the state of mind to listen to what the other person is actually saying. You see, what I find that, especially when you are calling someone to Islam who is not a Muslim, I find that the best time and the place to do this is in a relaxed environment where the other person, you know, maybe it's like at a coffee shop. The two of you will just sit down and you'll have a heart to heart. And they are open and receptive to what you are saying. I find this to be far more productive than to be screaming and shouting in the park and arguing with others about their religions. I'm not saying the other way doesn't work. You know, wisdom also means knowing when to use which method. But this is my own personal experience in terms of what is most productive. That when someone sits with you and they're willing to hear you out, then they're in the right frame of mind to actually think about what you are saying and perhaps change their perspective. And so part of wisdom is being able to get people into that frame of mind, having the right environment, the right setting, the right tone of voice, the right relationship for that message to get through in a heart-to-heart manner. Now, there are other ways that people do dawah without wisdom. Another aspect of lacking wisdom is not knowing when to be harsh and when to be soft. Now we will see in the next lesson that the default of the da'i should be compassion. And yes, we know there are some people today who demonize compassion. And they think that compassion is a weakness. And they even have created a slur, saying compassionate imam, like it's some kind of slur, na'udzubillah. These are two positive words. Imam is a positive thing, and compassion is an important and integral part of our religion. We should not be demonizing words that are necessary parts of our religion. This is extremely problematic. But wisdom demands that you know when to be compassionate and when to be harsh. The default should be compassion. But there are times and there are people with whom harshness works better. And this again comes down to understanding personality types, understanding the moment, understanding the occasion. So being harsh at a funeral or a wedding, never a good idea. That's a time for compassion. But if there's a war going on, you need to be harsh against the enemies. You need to be firm on the side of justice. That's not a time to be a softie. That's a time to show your courage and your manliness and your firmness on the truth. And yes, sometimes it means saying very harsh things to those on the other side, because that is necessary to get your point across. It's the same also with debates. This is why I prefer not to do debates. I actually don't like debates. I find them to be counterproductive, because in a debate, it tends to be the kind of environment where you have to be harsh. If you are too soft, you get steamrolled. People just bulldoze you. Right? The other side shows up for a fight. So you have to be in fighter mode. So part of wisdom is knowing when to be in that fighting mode and when to be soft. And I'll say this much. The default is softness. The default is compassion. The default is to be a nice person. Wisdom is knowing when to be harsh, when to be strict. And sometimes it's to do with a person's personality. There are certain personality types out there that if you are soft to them, they don't take what you say seriously. But if you are harsh to them, they respect you and they actually listen to you. And again, this boils down to wisdom, but you're able to figure out people's personality types. You know someone's a softie. If you're harsh to them, they're going to run away. So speak to them gently. Or you know somebody else, a bit of a macho man. He likes to talk harshly and he can't stand soft-spoken people. So you do the dawah to him harshly and he'll actually respect you and listen to what you say. Again, this boils down to understanding how people think and what kind of speech they are receptive to. Unfortunately today, because some of us went to the approach of being too soft, others went to the opposite extreme of being too harsh or being harsh all the time. And as an excuse for this, to justify this, they say that they are following in the footsteps of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa Umar radiallahu anhu. They are saying that they are following in his footsteps, that he was a harsh man and he was a rough man, and so they want to be like him. And a few responses to this. Number one, we're supposed to prioritize the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the Sahaba. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was compassionate most of the time and harsh on very rare but justified occasions. It's not that he was never harsh. No, there are some occasions where he was really harsh with people, but he was always justified. Number two, this is a misreading of who Umar radiallahu anhu was. He never justified being harsh all the time as an Islamic ideal to strive towards. Rather, study his biography. Actually, go back and study his biography. He used to strive to be softer. He used to strive to be softer. He used to try his best not to be too harsh, because he understood that being too harsh chases most people away. The average person can't handle someone who is that harsh. He understood this and he would try to be softer with people. and he would try to find balance. So you can't then use him as a justification to be harsh all the time, because he was not harsh all the time. We have so many narrations of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu crying. We have so many narrations about him at night anonymously helping the poor, cooking for them, carrying their parcels, listening to them say, you know, bad things about the Khalifa, not even realizing they're talking to the Khalifa, and just being quiet about it. We see so much softness from Umar radiallahu anhu towards his people. And we see a man who genuinely tried to be balanced. He tried to be harsh only with those who deserved it, and to be soft with everyone else. And this was what he strived for. And I really think it is a misrepresentation of Umar radiallahu anhu to assume that he was harsh all the time, and so that following in his footsteps, you are going to be harsh all the time. No. Umar radiallahu anhu was, yes, harsh with the enemies of Islam. He was harsh with the hypocrites. He was harsh with those who tried to change the religion. He was harsh with those who he considered to be traitors. But with everybody else, with the poor, with the weak, with the orphans, with the widows, with his own family, he was a gentle soul. You know, there's so many beautiful narrations of genuine gentleness and compassion from Umar radiallahu anhu. Especially when you read about his night patrols, when he would go out at night and help the poor anonymously. You see this gentle side of Umar radiallahu anhu that really completely destroys this distorted image that these youngsters have. So do not use the name of the Sahaba to justify your own meanness and nastiness. Umar radiallahu anhu may have been harsh with the enemies of Islam, but he was not nasty and mean and vulgar to his fellow Muslims or to the average person. He was a person of good character. He was a person of good manners. And he utilized wisdom in how he dealt with people. And so that brings us back to our main point. Every da'i must gain wisdom. You must learn to be wise in how you talk to people, in when you talk to people, in when you are compassionate, in when you are harsh, in the kind of environment, in your choice of words, in the level of the discourse. All of this requires wisdom. And we see wisdom in all of the examples of the righteous before us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way that he did da'wah to different types of people, gives us many examples of wisdom. That he would appeal, if somebody was, for example, if he was dealing with someone who was impressed by generosity, then he would showcase the generosity of Islam in front of that person and narrate to them the verses of the Quran related to the generosity, so that they could see that this ideal that they value, Islam values it even more, and Islam develops it even further. If someone was attracted to the concept of good character, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would focus in the da'wah towards them on how Islam perfects good character. So they could see that what they already saw as an ideal, Islam makes it even better. And we see this in his way of dealing with many different people. And we even see that he was harsh sometimes when he needed to be. And I mean, he had to lead battles. You can't be soft at the time of leading a battle. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they went to battle, he was in the front lines, and he was brave and he was courageous, and he did what was necessary. Yet afterwards, in the treatment of the prisoners of war, in dealing with the aftermath, in doing da'wah to the people that he fought, you would see his rahmah, you would see his compassion. And so there was wisdom in how he dealt with people. You know, one of the prisoners in the Battle of Badr, Suhail ibn Amr, At that point in time, he was known for his harsh words against the Prophet ﷺ and against Islam. So when they captured him in Badr, Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to remove his front teeth, remove Suhail's front teeth, so he cannot speak clearly again, so he wouldn't be able to talk badly about Islam again. Again, this is the harshness he had towards the enemies of Islam. And again, we see the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also a prophecy from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Firstly, he said, "Don't do that. We don't mutilate our enemies. We don't torture our enemies. That's not from Islam." But he also made a prophecy, and he said, "Perhaps one day he'll use that tongue for good, and you'll be impressed by what he says." Fast forward almost a decade later, Suhail's one of the last of the people of Makkah to convert to Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. Some of the people of Makkah start thinking about apostating and leaving the religion. And Suhail stands up in front of the Kaaba and delivers a powerful speech in which he reminds the people that we were the first to receive the message and the last to accept the message. Let us not be the first to reject the message and to abandon it. And because of his motivational speech, the people of Makkah remained firm upon Islam. And Umar radiallahu anhu saw the wisdom in what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said all that time ago, over a decade before that. That part of wisdom is realizing that people can change. You don't want to do something to permanently damage someone in a way that there's no room for redemption. There's no room for coming back to the straight path. There's no way back. And so there was wisdom in how we dealt with the prisoners at Badr. Not just Suhail, but many of the other prisoners as well. And I highly recommend for every da'i to take time to read through the seerah. And every time you come to an incident of da'wah in the seerah, analyze it from the perspective of wisdom. Look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam deals with different personality types. Look at how he deals with different situations. How he does da'wah to a large group. How he does da'wah one-on-one. How he does da'wah to somebody who is harsh. How he does da'wah to somebody who is soft. How he does da'wah to a leader who admires specific qualities. And how he does da'wah to an oppressed person who is looking for a solution. And you begin to see the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you can learn da'wah lessons from that you can apply to your own life. So to conclude today's lesson, it is necessary for everyone involved in da'wah to continuously be gaining more and more wisdom. How do you gain wisdom? Number one, you ask Allah, because wisdom is a gift from Allah. Number two, you make mistakes, you learn from your mistakes, you grow from your mistakes. Number three, you spend time in the company of the righteous, in the company of the experienced, and you learn from their stories, you learn from their youth, you learn from their mistakes, so that you gain that experience without having to go through what they went through. Number four, you read the biographies of the people of the past, especially Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you learn wisdom from how they dealt with people, from how they interacted with people. So wisdom is the lost property of the believer. We should seek it wherever we find it. And we should call to the way of our Lord with wisdom and kind preachings. This is the teachings of Islam. These are the fundamental principles of da'wah. Every single da'i must gain wisdom. And I end with a reminder to all of us that part of gaining wisdom is being open to correction. And we'll talk about this in a later video when we talk about nasiha. But nowadays many du'at are not open to correction. They want to do everything their own way. And their feelings get hurt if you try to correct them. And they don't like it when someone tells them what to do or what they did wrong. This should never be the personality of the believer. We should always be humble. We should always be willing to learn. We should always be willing to gain more wisdom. And the way that we do this is by listening to others. If someone walks up to you, so this happened to me many, many times, that I would deliver a lecture or a khutbah, and then afterwards one of the elders will walk up to me and tell me that, you know, the way you worded this wasn't good, you know, you could have worded it better, or, you know, the way you worded it, it gives off this message that you was unintentional, so be more careful in your choice of words, or maybe even that I was too harsh, or I was too unclear, or whatever it is. And I thank them for their advice, because it helps me to grow, it helps me to recognize my mistakes, to learn from my mistakes, and you should too. Never lose this quality of being open to correction and open to learning. And always have people in your life who will correct you when you are wrong. Because if you don't have people like that in your life, then you will have a lot of blind spots and you will not gain wisdom from those blind spots. So we ask Allah to guide us and to make us people of wisdom and good character, and to allow us to call people to the way of Allah with wisdom, and to accept our preaching and to put barakah in it. Jazakallah khairan wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I'll see you in the next video.